Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen.
Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sins. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ.
In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts and everything we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Dear friends, hear the words, the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released, liberated from the power of sin and death and the devil. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. A reading from Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My Delight is in Her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants knew who had drawn the water, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right, so do you guys get that story? Yeah? Can I give you my sermon and you can preach it? How's that sound? Good. Brody would do it? Yeah, I know he would. So, let me retell this story a little bit here. Do you know what this is?
A bottle.
A bottle. And what's in a bottle?
Milk.
Yep, so this party's pretty hip. It's got a lot of really good milk and some watered-down milk. We'll call it super skim milk. And they partied and partied and partied and partied. What happened to all the milk? You might know where it is, but let's not ruin things here. What happened to it? It's gone. Ooh, it's gone. Yes. No, it's gone. But in this story, Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, "Do what he says. Do what he says. The wine's all gone." And even though Jesus says, "It's not yet my time," he orders them to go to the well, get some water, fill it up. And as soon as they bring it to the steward, not only is it full, which is probably the best milk you've ever had. Best milk ever. And they drink it and they say, "You have saved the best milk for last. The best of the best." What's the best milk you've ever had? Anybody know?
What?
Yeah?
The milk I ever had is chocolate coconut.
Chocolate coconut. This is the best chocolate coconut milk you've ever had. It is so good. But the point of this story isn't necessarily the milk and how cool it is that once what was gone and is now here, the fact that it was the best for last. In your own lives, there's going to be time when you're going to have some really good milk. You're going to feel good. There's times you're going to feel a little spoiled milk, perhaps. Not so good. The strong milk? Miss some strong milk. But yeah, the milk. Yeah, sometimes it's going to be sour. But the best milk is for last. And that comes from Jesus, filled up from in your baptism, given to you, so that at the very end, God's not going to see that spoiled milk or taste that. He's going to taste the best milk and how good you guys really are. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son to save us all so that we're not spoiled milk, but the best milk ever. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so this story is an interesting story. Interesting one to have after Epiphany. Hi. You can have a seat. It's fine. But let's think about the thing that stood out to me about this story right last night, actually, was the fact that there's a wedding going on. And not only that, it could be because we had all this snow that got me thinking about weddings, but it got me thinking of my own wedding and how things don't necessarily go as planned. Things don't always go as planned in the way people think. So, great intentions with weddings. You plan a wedding. It's going to go practically perfect in every way. Nothing could go wrong by planning a wedding in December. Nothing at all could go wrong. Nothing could go wrong with planning a wedding in December. It's going to be perfect. People are coming from miles away. It's going to be perfect. It's supposed to be nice out. Everything's great. It's going to go as you plan. Best wedding ever. And then the night before, the clouds show up. It starts to rain a little bit. Roads are getting a little slick. You wake up and the snow's not too bad. By lunchtime, snow's not too bad. No, the snow's not getting too bad. We're okay, the snow's not too bad. It's just blowing around, it's just a blizzard. No problems at all. It's going exactly as you planned it. Everybody's gonna be there. And if you truly don't think I'm making this story up, I did bring the evidence of the blizzard wedding. So be sure you look at this if you truly don't believe that we were married in a blizzard. A blizzard that kept lots of people away, including the DJ. A DJ that was crazy enough to come from Minneapolis. Remember, this is the snowstorm that deflated the Metrodome last. Okay? So, he tries to come. He's got great intentions. Goes in the ditch. Tries again. Goes in the ditch. Tries again. Goes in the ditch. Tries again. Finally, the trooper says, "You should probably go home." Didn't make it. Things didn't go as planned in this wedding. Wasn't practically perfect, wasn't flawless, and yet for us it was perfect. It was a perfect wedding for Mindy and I. But what are the people going to think of this? What are they going to think about the excess of food instead of the lack of food? What are they going to think about it being basically the whole town of Spring Grove showing up instead of anybody out of town? Well, they still talk about it, so obviously it's okay. But the wedding, that was our wedding. Unexpected things happened. And I got thinking about that wedding as I think about the wedding in today's gospel story and the unexpected happening in that wedding. So I want you to hear this story, we'll say for the third time. Except I'm going to add some notes that just show how unexpected and worrying this wedding could have been. But before we get to the actual wedding, we got to look at where we came from. We came from where we were last week, except we did the reading from the Gospel of Luke. But in John, Jesus is baptized. That's where we start before we head over to the wedding. He becomes baptized. He's all grown up. He's no longer a young kid. He's no longer a baby. He's grown up. Baptized in the river by John. The same John that points and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's not to be expected. This guy here going to take away all the sins of the world. So much so that John knows this to be true, he sends two of his own disciples to go with Jesus. And they're called by Jesus from John. Not only that, there's Philip, Andrew, Peter, and Nathanael. They all tell Nathanael, as well as the fourth one that was with them at the time. And they tell Nathanael, "This is him. This is the guy we've been looking for. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah." And Nathanael says, "Well, what good can come out of there? Nothing." The disciples, Jesus, and Mary attend the wedding a couple of days later. And that's where they're at in the story. But what about the wedding couple? What about those having the wedding? How do they get to where they're at? While they're married, they've planned this extravagant party that's going to last an entire week. It's going to be perfect. Perfect week-long wedding. Nothing could go wrong. They've made all the preparations. All the guests are invited. They're all there drinking the best wine at the very beginning. They've gotten so drunk you can slip in the very watered-down wine now. They're drinking it up. Drinking it up. It's going to be okay. We're going to be fine in this party. And yet, when they get to this part of the party where everybody's together, the wine has run out. Now, this could be a crisis situation with wine running out. Not a lot of good can come from wine running out. This family that's throwing the party as a result of the wine running out, if people find out it's all gone, they're going to be branded, probably for life. Branded a disgrace. They failed to show any hospitality. What kind of good host runs out of wine? What kind of good host loses all their wine? They are a horrible host. They don't know what they're doing. They are a disgrace. They weren't shown the same hospitality they were in the past, perhaps. When they attended somebody else's wedding and didn't run out of wine, were treated like royalty almost with all these things. But this one, we're not treated the same as you. That's a disgrace. And it's a disgrace that's going to not only affect you, but your future kids and their kids. Nobody's ever going to forget that you are the ones that ran out of wine. The joy that was there at day one at the marriage, maybe even day two, is going to disappear. It's going to go from joy to anger. And interestingly, as I looked even deeper into what some of these consequences were, there could be a lawsuit for the damages of not being treated in kind. Sounds like a crisis to me that you're running out of wine. Nothing good is going to come out of this situation. Jesus' mom comes up to him and says, "There's no wine. It's a real situation going on." Jesus says, "What's that got to do with me? What's it got to do with you? It's not my time. The hour has not yet come." And we know that because he's not to the cross yet. But then she says, "Do whatever he tells you to do. Fill these 6 giant jars with water." If you were told to do that, you'd probably be thinking, "Yeah, right. What in the world is going to happen from filling these jars up with wine or with water? That's not going to help the situation any. It's going to make things worse. Not only is it not watered down wine, it's just water." But they listen. They fill them up. They fill up a cup, bring it to the master of the feast. He takes a sip, and he falls off his seat. He says, "Most people serve the best at the very beginning, but you, You saved the very best for last. Only a few people there know what happened. Only a few. A few from Jesus, his mom, the stewards. They know what happened. They know. And yet everybody there received that perfect wine. They don't know where it came from. They didn't ask for it. But they all received that wine. This is where it all begins. This is the first sign, John says. This is where it all begins, towards the cross. And the disciples believed. So moving away from our wedding and their wedding and that story to the where are we today? What is in your jar? What's filling your life up? Is it a jar that's empty? Is it a jar full of something that's hurting? Is it a jar that's full of something else in your life? Is it watered down? Is it not quite what you want it to be? Not all goes as planned in our lives. And we deserve to get the ridicule that they didn't in Canaan. But we have a God that no longer sits on that sideline. He doesn't allow the wine to go bad. He doesn't allow the ridicule to come to these people. Instead of being disgraced by the law, he brings grace and refills our jars up with the best wine ever. The best wine that we're reminded of coming perhaps from your own baptism, that promise of being sealed, that those moments in your life when the wine is tainted, doesn't taste as good, perhaps is bitter, at the very end, instead of it being bitter, it is full, as John says at the very beginning, of grace upon grace. Grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Jesus fills us. Jesus saves us. No longer sitting on the sideline. And that changes everything in our lives. And at some point, we will join in that feast of heaven with wine that's even greater than anything we've ever tasted, anything that we could ever imagine, because we know who we are. Later today, we'll gather around the table of communion and taste some wine, perhaps, or the grape juice. And we'll taste it, and we'll know it might taste good. It tastes even better today, knowing that this is the body and blood of Jesus. And we know that this is so true, that we'll never be the ones that are going to be ridiculed at the very end, thrown away to the side forever, but instead filled with that grace upon grace, which is the best tasting thing ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. At the end of each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and your response is, hear our prayer. Please join me in prayer. We pray for the church. Strengthen bishops, pastors, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your Holy Spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth, for the beauty of winter, for snow, wind, and frosty trees. We pray for your beauty of all seasons. Help us be good stewards of all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. Guide the leaders of all nations in your way of wisdom, compassion, and tolerance. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights. Give all people dignity. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for those who face a scarcity of resources, and those who struggle with financial difficulties. We lift up those affected by the government shutdown and those whose uncertainty about food and shelter is an ongoing reality. Let our prayers and actions be guided by your generosity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need of healing, for those who grieve and those who suffer from chronic conditions, pain, and illness. Please join me in praying for those listed in your bulletin. June, Rolf, Liam, baby Nora, Heather, Levi, Karen, Dwayne, Ione, Catherine, Tim, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josie, and Amos, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Mahalanas. God, you meet us where we are at, and you know our every need. Receive our petitions as we lift them silently to you. Receive our prayers and fill us with warmth and radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and always. Amen.
Go in peace. Remember your baptism.
Thanks be to God.